Hey,
welcome to Freaks, Freakies, and Freakies. I couldn't get the freakies out, like I lost air.
What is this even?
I don't even know what episode this is.
It's episode 45.
Oh shit.
Of the In the Nick of Crime podcast.
That is true.
Yes, we still exist.
We do. Due to vacation, illness, and supernatural events.
Yeah. I know, every time Courtney goes on vacation, she gets sick, and she's like texting me when she went, and she's like, I did so good, and I got sick. And I was like, you're acting like it's surprising.
I tried so hard to stay healthy, and I got soaking wet and then had to walk through air-conditioned haunted houses.
Yeah. She's in Florida.
Yeah.
And there's a hurricane.
Yep. Those two don't mix, in case you're wondering.
No. No, definitely not.
But it was still really fun.
Yeah. As long as you have fun. That's all that matters, man.
I did.
So, yeah. We're not a weekly true crime podcast. We had said we're going bi-weekly, and then
it's now turned into a month.
Yeah, gosh. I think it has been a month since our last episode.
Most of that's my fault.
That's all right. Well, and then me afterwards. So, it always seems to happen. Like, we piggyback off of each other, but it's okay. We try to keep everyone updated when we can, but
bear with us.
Yeah, here's a random episode for you.
Yeah!
Scoops and Laura will go out next week because we were also going to record that today. I was like, I don't feel like it. So,
gotta take care of ourselves first, exactly, unfortunately.
Exactly. And that's where we're at right now, is like we're really focusing on taking care of ourselves, but the podcast does fall by the wayside. It's like we said before, it's a hobby for us, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So bear with us.
Yep. It's just literally the same old fucking story every time. So that's that. You know the drill. So yeah, we usually, a true crime podcast, we like to do some spooky shit sometimes.
Yeah, which is Goose and Lore, and it's where I'm absolutely hilarious.
Yep, just Courtney.
Actually, the last couple, I think you've won that card.
No, I think we're both funny in them, because we're just weird. We get real weird. Not that we're like, I'm the funniest person ever. It's not like that. It's just we get real weird.
Yeah, I like being weird. It's better.
Yep. So yeah, it's a Courtney-isode this time. She's odd numbers on the main episodes.
Yeah, buddy. Do you not have a weekly fucker?
I do.
Oh, fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
I actually had a really hard time deciding. I'm going to do like a mention of one thing, too, before I go into my fuckery.
I will be honest, I have really stayed out of the true crime community because my brain cannot handle it right now.
I have, too, and I literally just keep stumbling on these things. It's insane.
Yeah, that TikTok you sent me, I was like, whoa!
Yeah!
When did that happen?
Gosh, I sent Courtney, I was asking her if she was keeping up the story of Ruby Frankie. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about that, too, but she's a YouTuber and a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And abusive. Oh, my gosh. And there's a 911 call that I think her youngest son had gone to a neighbor's house. And,
yeah, he was 12.
Yeah, and the man on the call was just, like, in tears.
Literal tears.
It's fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
She got arrested a while ago, I think a couple weeks ago at this point, but
yeesh.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really want to talk about that one right now. But I wanted to mention first, I'm not going to go into this in detail, but, like, whatever the fuck is happening in Pennsylvania, prisoners keep escaping.
Oh, I've seen that.
Like, Danilo on TikTok. Was this prisoner who had just gotten sentenced for murdering his girlfriend, and he, like, shimmied himself up the fucking walls of the prison, and a dog, a canine named, I think, Yoda, is the one that caught him. Like, he evaded the human police for, like, 2 weeks, and Yoda, like, got him by the fucking scalp.
Yeah, go Yoda.
Yeah, baby. And then I saw something early this morning when I couldn't sleep, shocker, about 9 juvenile prisoners escaping in Pennsylvania also. So just mentioning those ones, like, what the fuck is happening?
And I'm pretty sure there was just an arrest, it's like in the Asian community, because you know me and all that, of 5 people and 1 minor. They haven't talked about the minor yet. I'm pretty sure it's in Pennsylvania. They're all on trial for murder because they got pulled over and there was a corpse in the back of their car.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Completely chopped up corpse of a woman.
Dude. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
What's going on in that state?
Seriously, I have no idea. So, yeah, just want to quickly mention those because it's fucking insane. But what I'm actually going to talk about today for weekly fuckery, so former NFL player Sergio Brown, he played with the Patriots for a long time. He played for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think also the Panthers, maybe too. But he is missing. Him and his mother went missing. And his mother was found dead in, I think, like a pond or a lake behind their home. And he's missing. And, yeah, it was in a creek, I apologize, behind their home. So it was, so it's in the Chicago area is where they live. So on this article that I found for the New York Times, it says Maywood police officers initiated a missing person report and began making attempts to locate both individuals. But yeah, I have no idea. So the Maywood is about 12 miles west of Chicago, of downtown. And his mom, Myrtle Brown, she was 73. She was found in a creek behind their home on Saturday.
And they haven't talked about, like, if she was murdered or...
Yes, she was murdered.
Oh, shit. Yes.
And it doesn't really seem like anyone believes that he...
Did it.
Yeah, that I kind of knock on. And I've read a few articles on it now, which I hope that isn't the case. But she was taken to Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, and it said she died from multiple injuries because of an assault, and her death was ruled a homicide.
Yikes!
Yeah. So, they don't know if, you know, police are getting any closer to finding him at all, but, yeah, they're just asking for any information regarding Sergio Brown.
I think my mind just, like,
I know,
blew out the side of my head on that.
What? I just saw it. I think it also came up on TikTok originally for me, and, yeah, I don't know. It's just insane.
Whoa.
Absolutely insane. And there's, like, nothing that I've read that seems like there was, like, you know, issues with them or anything. And it says that, what is their name? A neighbor. His name is Carlos Cortez. It says, he said her family came and knocked on the door and was looking for her because they put out a police report because she was missing for 72 hours. And yeah, they just haven't been able to find them at all. And Sergio Brown is only 35.
He's the same age as me.
Yeah. And he played for the University of Notre Dame and
Notre Dame.
Was with the Patriots. Woo-hoo. Jaguars was the other one I was thinking, not the Panthers. And he played for the Colts too. So he played for a lot of teams.
He played some teams.
Yeah, and he's already not playing anymore. So,
well, I mean, usually most of them do end up quitting early because of injuries, but
unless you're Tom Brady.
Let's not even go there. Or Aaron Rodgers, who's now out for the entire season.
He looks so old, tearing his Achilles. He looks so old, though. I just saw a picture of him. I was like, holy fuck, man. Also, I wanted to mention the Saints have a real quarterback this season.
Are you excited or what?
Tonight, I was like, they're playing Monday Night Football. They always get the shit picks on Sundays. Like, they always play during church, and I can never watch the games. And I was like, yeah, Monday Night Football.
I'm a Philly fan, so... Hey.
How long you been a Philly fan for?
Since high school.
Good. Like, don't be a fucking bandwagoner because the Eagles got decent.
No. I've never been a Bronco fan. Except for when Elway played, and that was only because, like, if you weren't a Bronco fan then, like, you weren't cool.
I'm really salty at the Broncos because Sean Payton is their coach now.
And they suck.
Yeah, they do. Russell Wilson, big.
Why did we ever pick Russell Wilson?
Because he was good at one point. But
I think Seattle knew.
But Russell Wilson left the Seahawks, and Jimmy Graham came back to the Saints.
He did.
The heart. I'm just like, I can watch football again and be happy. I watch it, like, seasons. Because I'm like, I don't give a shit about the Saints. I really do. Like, I'll support the Broncos, but they're not, like, I'm not, like, crazy about it. The last time they went to the Super Bowl, I was rooting for them, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. You have to.
Yeah, but I'm just like, we got Derek Carr. We got Jimmy Graham back. Our offense still sucks. Always sucks. It's okay. We'll get there. Anyway, sorry. Football tangent.
Yep, football tangent.
I think my microphone was like, shut up, bitch, and it went out. Courtney's did. One of ours did.
One of ours.
So, yeah, that's what's happening. That's crazy. So, hopefully, we'll get at least some good news on his front.
I hope so.
I don't know. Like, for some reason, the first thing that popped in my head, and I'm truly not making assumptions, it's just kind of the first thing I thought about is, like, if there's something that he's wrapped up in and they both got targeted or something.
The first thing that came to my head was kidnap.
Yeah, like...
Because, like, he made good money. Right. It's not like... I mean, he wasn't one of the most rich football players, but he still made good money.
Right, yeah. Well, any football players do, but he did get tossed around to a lot of teams. But, yeah, I just wonder if something was happening and they both got targeted or what. I just... hope that he's okay and that he didn't have anything to do with it.
I know.
Because, like I said, nothing I've read is, like, insinuated that he did. And,
that's insane.
You know, the media, they're quick to rake people through the
polls. They usually are. They're the first ones to point fingers if they don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, just hoping that he's okay and so terrible about his mother.
That sucks.
Yeah. Hopefully, whatever happened, it was quick for her. Ugh, terrible. So, that's what I have. There's a lot of shit happening.
There is a lot.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've had to, like, step out of it because we do this.
Right.
And so, like, I can't even listen to podcasts right now.
I get it. For some reason, I can still do books. I do nonfiction,
true crime. Well, that's like, a little easier.
True crime books. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't. Like, podcasts, I'll catch up, like, maybe one day a week or something, but
I can't even do that right now. My brain, like, my parents watch true crime 24/7, so, like, when I walk past their living room, I'm like...
Right.
I know that case. Right. And then I'll just, like, keep wandering. I'm like, da-da-da.
Yep. Yeah,
it's good. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I was telling you earlier, when I first did this case, we had a lot of... pretty horrific cases that we covered.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find something that wasn't quite as horrific. And so this is definitely still true crime, but it's a total swipe to the left of true crime.
Okay.
And there's a lot of science in this.
I like it.
Because I'm a science geek and I'm all here for it. So I'm going to talk about the bizarre death of Gloria Ramirez.
Okay. Sounds sort of familiar.
So, maybe. She is also known as the Toxic Woman. I know. I had never heard of this case.
Is this like Typhoid Mary again?
No, it's not. Okay. But it's really interesting. It's fascinating scientifically.
Okay.
It's sad for her.
Oh, okay.
But at 8:15 p.m. on February 9th of 1994, paramedics brought in 31-year-old Gloria Ramirez into the emergency room at Riverside General Hospital in Moreno Valley, California.
Okay.
She was experiencing a few interesting symptoms, one of which being a rapid, irregular heartbeat.
Ooh.
She had decreasing blood pressure. She was incoherent. She was having trouble breathing.
Okay. Yeesh.
45 minutes later, Gloria was pronounced dead.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll kind of get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
But also, 23 out of the 37 ER staff were ill and being exposed to toxic fumes that were actually coming from her body.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, was it, like, toxic while she was being treated or after she had passed? Like, once her body
I'm going to get into that for you. Yeah, there's a lot of detail in this one.
Oh.
Some of the staff were actually so sick that they had to be hospitalized.
This is making my hypochondriac self so anxious right now. I'm really not a hypochondriac, but it is like, oh my gosh. It's just...
Yeah. Ooh. This is wild.
Okay.
That's what originally caught my attention on this case, because I was like, what the heck? Like, this is crazy. Like, you don't hear of this kind of stuff. And it gets even weirder. Like, I'm going to get into this. I'll explain a little bit on her as well. I don't know a whole lot about her life prior, but I do know, like, why she ended up in the hospital.
Okay.
So the news of her death, along with the strange effects of what was going on, obviously caught the media's attention.
Yeah.
Nationwide, for many reasons.
Understandable.
One of the reasons was no one in the medical science field had ever experienced this.
Okay.
Nor had anyone ever heard of this.
Holy fuck. And you said 1994?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Okay.
The big question everyone was asking was, how could a dying woman radiate enough toxin to poison so many people, yet she didn't leave any pathological trace? And I'm gonna get full on into that. Dude,
the hell?
This is wild.
This is insane.
So, this is not her cause of death, but the cause of her actually having to come in here was very clear, as she had stage 4 cervical cancer,
oh my gosh,
unfortunately, and she had gone into renal failure at this time, which had led to her cardiac arrest. So, we know initially why she had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
She knew this was going to happen. She was under hospice care. Like,
was she undergoing treatment?
She was undergoing treatment, and that kind of does play a role in one of the theories.
That's kind
of
the first thing that I thought. Mm-hmm.
But it's not what you're thinking.
Okay.
Because I thought the same thing, and then when I got into it, I was like, that was not the road I was going down, but okay.
Okay.
So anatomically, the toxic fumes that were released from her body mm-hmm. had absolutely nothing to do with her death. Not a thing.
Okay.
So a lot of medical staff had questions of if the toxic fumes were from her body. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, but where were they going? Right. Why did they happen? What caused this?
Yeah.
A little bit about her is that Gloria was a wife. She was a mother of two.
Right.
She had terrible health due to this. Mm-hmm. And that morning, she had rapidly deteriorated after she was put into a home-based care mm-hmm. after she got diagnosed with terminal cervical cancer.
Gosh. And what was the time frame between when she was diagnosed and when she went in the hospice? Does it say?
It doesn't say, but from what I understood, it was pretty quick.
Yeah. Ugh.
And the thing with cervical cancer, especially if it's stage four, it is quick. Like, there are very few people who go a long time. It's
hard to detect early.
I actually know some pretty crazy stories about that and detections on it. It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So on the evening of the 9th, she developed what are called shine strokes breathing, which I actually looked this up because I was curious mm-hmm. as to what this meant.
Right.
So their respirations are rare and abnormal breathing patterns.
Okay.
And they can occur while awake, but they usually occur while you sleep, which is interesting.
Yeah.
The pattern involves a period of fast, shallow breathing followed by slow, heavier breathing in moments without any breathing at all.
Ugh.
And so, and then that's called apnea, as we all know.
Yeah, right.
So that's what that is.
Jeez.
And so she ended up going into cardiac arrest, and she had heart palpitations. Mm. Her home caregivers called an ambulance, and they had her rushed to the hospital. As a last life-saving resort, which we all know because she was under clear signs of death at this point.
Right.
So when she got there, she was triaged.
Mm-hmm.
And time-proven techniques were quickly applied, as we all know this. She had an IV of what's called Ringer's lactate solution that was administered to her, which is very common when this mm-hmm. happens. This is a standard procedure for stabilizing your blood and then electrolyte deficiencies.
Okay.
Then the team actually sedated her with injections of diazepam. Mm. I can never say this one. Midazolam, I think. Midazolam. Midazolam. And then lorazepam. Thank you. I can never say that one either.
On that one.
I know, you're like, I know this one.
I
was really trying on that. I was like, if anyone can help me, it's Michelle. She's gonna like know all these names. It's fine. Jokes.
I've not been on the second one. I've been on the first one and the third one. Okay.
I feel like some, like,
if anyone would know this, it's Michelle.
If anyone would know medical terms,
she's on a
it's
lot
Michelle.
Of
And last, they actually began to apply oxygen with an ambi bag, which if you guys don't know what that is, it's like a mask with a bag, and then you squeeze the bag.
Manual oxygen.
And it forces actually purified air, which I didn't know that was a thing. I think the bag comes with it, if you've noticed that it's already inflated.
Yeah.
I think that's how that starts.
Yeah, because I would think that one... It makes sense, though.
Yeah, so they started doing that directly into her lungs rather than hooking up to, like, an oxygen-demanding supply machine because it's just quicker and more direct.
Mm-hmm.
So her case at this point was typical of a cancer patient. Unfortunately, it came to an end, as we all know, which is really a bummer. And it wasn't until the RN, whose name is Susan Kane, who installed the catheter into her arm...
Mm-hmm.
Went to withdraw the syringe of blood that things went from completely fine to completely not fine.
Because, see, that's what I was wondering. Was it, like, gaseous toxins or blood toxins?
Mm-hmm. But we're going to get crazy here in a second.
Okay, because I'm, like, sitting here thinking, I mean, because obviously, like, hospitals don't wear, like, full PPE all the time unless they know that they have to. But even then, like, you're using gloves.
Oh, this gets wild.
Oh, boy.
So... she's a highly experienced RN, by the way. Like, she, right. this is not something new for her. She's been doing this for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. She immediately noted an ammonia-like odor was emanating from this tip of the syringe.
Whoa.
When she removed it from the catheter. The fact that she could smell that... out of that tiny needle?
Yeah.
We got a problem.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So then Susan actually handed the syringe to another respiratory therapist by the name of Maureen Welch. And Susan leaned closer to Gloria to try to trace, like, where this odor source was coming from.
Right.
Maureen then also could smell it off the syringe and later agreed that it was an ammonia-like smell. And she's quoted as saying, it was like how rancid blood smells when people take chemotherapy treatment.
See?
But she wasn't on chemotherapy at this time.
Okay, because that's why I was asking. Because I'm like, because, you know, people say chemo is literally poisoning your body.
You are,
and
yes.
that's kind of the first thing that I thought.
She was already in hospice at that point. There was no reason for them to administer chemotherapy. Like, it should have been out of her system by now.
Right. Whoa.
Yeah. So, Maureen then actually gave the syringe to a medical resident. Her name was Julie Gorkonski.
Okay.
She noted that there was a manila-colored particle that was floating in the blood and as well confirmed the odor. So, there's three high-end people who are looking at this syringe, smelling this syringe, and being like, okay, we smell this odor, we see this thing, what is going on? Because, as you know, when blood's drawn, it's a really dark red color. Yeah. There shouldn't be a manila-colored particle hanging out in there. So yeah, it's throwing people off.
Like, why? Even then, like, if there's, like, a crazy protein or something there, can't even think that that would do that.
Right?
What the fuck?
So the ER in charge, as they call them, Dr. Humberto Ochoa? I think is how you say his last name.
Is it O-C-H-O-A?
Yep.
Ochoa.
See, you know those better than I do.
Maybe.
Also observed that the particular particles and then gave a fourth opinion that the syringe smelled like ammonia. So now you've got four people in this ER who are like, I smell it, I see it, but we can't figure out where it's coming from.
What the fuck?
So remember Susan Cain, she's the original one who noted all this.
Yeah.
She actually stood up from Gloria's body, who at the time was still alive, mind you.
Okay.
And started to feel faint immediately. Like, within seconds.
Dude.
She moved towards the door and then ended up passing out.
This is like some Grey's Anatomy shit
Dude,
right now.
I'm telling you. This whole thing is like wild. I actually am not going to lie to you. I did a bunch of research to make sure this was, like, not a, like, Rotten Tomatoes or, like...
Yeah, that it was actually legitimate.
Yeah, I was like, okay,
and
is this
I'm
a real story?
I'm not lessening what this...
Well, it's just outrageous to think that something like this happens.
Right.
Especially in an ER where, like, you see wild things every day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Something to this extent just seems too outrageous.
Holy
but it's
shit.
Real.
Oh, my gosh.
She actually was caught in the nick of time before she hit her head on the floor. She fainted so fast.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
They damn near just had to snatch her by her coat in order to not, like, or her scrubs, to, like, not have her clock her head
Holy
off the ground. She
shit.
Fell that fast. Julie, who we talked about earlier, also felt faint and also ended up passing out.
Oh, my gosh.
And she had to be put on a gurney and removed, just as Maureen Welch, who we've also talked about, presented the same symptoms, becoming overcome by those noxious substance that they were having problems with.
Oh, my gosh.
So now three out of four people who we already knew were involved in this, two have passed out, one's been taken by gurney, and one is, like, about to pass out.
Right.
So now everyone near Gloria, who's still dying at this point, is starting to feel these effects.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't even passed yet. And starting, like, they're dropping like flies in this room. The doctor that I talked about also is now feeling ill at this point. So all four of them are going down.
Right.
He ordered the ER evacuation and for everyone, staff and patients, to join in the open parking lot. He actually... evacuated the entire ER.
Oh my gosh.
Because of what was going down in that room. sent them all out to the parking lot where they all had to strip down into their underclothes. So literally you have just people in underwear, bras, right, and boxers and like briefs. Like, oh, that's gosh. It. Which had to be mortifying for people who weren't doctors and nurses, because right, everyone else yeah. is probably like, I don't know why I'm stripping, but okay. And then they had to put all of their outer garments in the hazard bags.
Damn.
Like, this yeah. gets wild.
But I mean, it's smart though, because they're like, we don't know what's causing it. Like, just eliminate everything and figure out what's happening.
Yeah, he's trying his best to save that ER at this point, because...
Well, probably like, you know, trying to avoid the whole CDC having to fucking come in.
Right. Well, on top of it, you know that she's passing at this point. Right. And I think he knew at this point there wasn't much they were going to be able to do gosh. For her. So Gloria at this point has remained in the ER, and a secondary trauma team, they had to send in a second team donned in hazmat PPE, which is personal protective equipment, if you don't know what that means. And they went in to give Gloria what help that they could.
Yeah.
They did CPR until 8:50 when the supervising doctor declared her dead at the scene, unfortunately. Gosh, so they really did try to save her life. They sent in a whole nother team.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And it just didn't happen.
Oh my gosh.
So now at this point, you've got, unfortunately, she's passed away, but you've right. also got everybody else in the parking lot.
Right.
Down to their skivvies, like,
yeah,
just hanging out.
Right, and they don't know what the hell's happening.
Oh, well, and especially the patients. Imagine the patients. Right. Like, that's what I think about. Because, like, truthfully, I think doctors and nurses and all of them are like, eh, whatever. Like, we've done our residency. Like, this is right, nothing new.
Right, yeah, right.
But imagine if you're in there for something and you're just like, why am I on a gurney in the parking lot in yeah. my skivvies? Like, this is weird.
Right. A little bit, yeah.
A little weird. So, taking the utmost precaution at this point, mm-hmm. the backup trauma team actually sealed Gloria's body in multiple layers of body shrouds.
Wow.
And they sealed it in a, what they call an aluminum casket.
Okay.
They placed it in an isolated section of the morgue. And then they activated a specially trained hazmat team to comb the entire ER for traces of whatever substance had been released
mm-hmm.
and caused these effects that we're seeing.
Gosh, where do you even start? Like, literally. Right? Like, where do you even start? Because I'm, like, thinking, like, carbon monoxide detector, that's not going to do shit. Every single time you do that, you think that your computer's possessed and it does it every time.
Sorry. Scared me.
It's just wild.
It is insane. So, meanwhile, the hospital staff has to treat their own now.
Yeah.
They've got at right. least four of them going down.
Jeez.
Now you've got five workers hospitalized, including Susan, Julie, and Maureen, who mm-hmm. we talked about earlier. Julie actually suffered the worst, unfortunately.
Yeah.
She spent 2 weeks detoxifying in an intensive care unit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What
this
did they
is
do
wild.
To detox her?
I don't really know what they're doing. Like, my guess blood. Is they probably do a blood transfer. Yeah. They probably push a lot of fluids.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
sure.
Well, where does the problem lie? Do they need a blood transfusion? Do they need to just flush out her entire adrenal system? Like, what?
I think they did it all. Because holy there's... Fuck. And the fact that she was in there 2 weeks tells me that she was on some serious stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, Riverside Hospital's pathologists faced a huge task at this mm-hmm. point. Like,
yeah,
holy shit, what do we do? So, autopsying the body, which they considered a canister of nerve gas at this point.
Okay.
Harboring a fugitive of pathogen or toxic chemicals. Because, holy truthfully, God. She's locked in this. When they call it an aluminum casket, it's... How do I explain these? So, it's literally, it's like a tube.
Yeah.
And you seal it.
Ugh.
It's kind of like how they transfer bodies, like, from when Chernobyl and stuff happened.
Yeah.
You have yeah. to transfer them in this aluminum case in order right. to keep the toxin inside of that case. Because right. you can't afford to
and
let it come out.
It's probably vacuum sealed, I would imagine.
Yes.
Jeez.
So, they literally go in with what they call airtight moon suits, which they literally look like astronaut outfits. It's wild.
Jeez.
Three pathologists ended up performing what they call now the world's fastest autopsy.
Damn.
Because they literally did this in 90 minutes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, that blew my
How
mind.
How the fuck do you do that fast?
So, they exited the seal tight room with samples of her blood and her tissues, along with air from inside of that aluminum casket.
Dude, that is insane.
Yeah, so the autopsy and the toxicology tests found nothing. Found nothing.
Damn, what the hell?
There's nothing abnormal, nothing that explains anything other than routine cancer patient who unfortunately lost their life.
Oh my gosh.
So the cause of death, and this was agreed upon with the pathologist, was cardiac arrest brought on by renal failure due to stage 4 cervical cancer.
I'm just, yeah. I literally have nothing.
We're gonna get into some crazy stuff here in a minute. Holy The coroner concurred that, and his mandate was fulfilled, that with no doubt as to why she died was because of cancer. Yet, there was no evidence leaking the mysterious fumes that were at the cause of death, and I say at the cause of death didn't cause it, but they were present when she was dying. And whatever byproduct was in the ER air at that time that contributed to Gloria's death. They couldn't find why these two were together, and that's why they came up with the cause of death being from her cancer, because they literally could not find a link between the two.
Jeez.
It's wild.
Yeah, seriously. It's absurd.
So now, you would think that this was an issue that the hospital would need to figure out on its own. Because, you know, it's at the hospital.
Right, yeah.
But the coroner at Riverside was under a ton of public pressure at this point to identify this noxious substance.
I mean, yeah, because it's going to make people think that they can't even go to that ER. Like, is it dissipated? Is it, like, what's happening?
Well, and everyone wanted him to do it because they wanted to prevent it from happening again.
Exactly,
because
if they know what it was, they know how to avoid it in the future.
Yep.
Holy hell.
So the coroner's on a mission now because they've, you know, they're under the pressure. So they're working with the hospital, they're working with the health department, they're working with the toxicology lab, and they're working with her family to try to see if they can come to some sort of reasonable conclusion of what this is.
Jeez.
So her family had no clue. They had no suspicions of any, like, foreign substance that Gloria would have been ingesting or exposed to that could have triggered this. The toxicology lab, I can't say the fucking word, was at a loss as they had, like, never seen this before. And the health department went on a, like, a literal crazy psycho, like, ambitious move to try to figure this case out.
Holy fuck.
So the county's health department appointed two people consisting of medical research professionals to interview everyone exposed in the ER and the surrounding area that day. So they profiled these people so closely that the team even cross-compared what everyone did or did not do what they had for dinner that night. Like, that's how detailed they were getting on this. Once these interviews were done, they didn't have an answer. So their answer was mass hysteria. That's what they concluded.
What the hell? No, it wasn't.
Right? That's where I got pissed on this case, is that they basically threw their hands in the air and said, there was mass hysteria.
No, there was no reason that those nurses would have been going about, you know, treating someone in the end stages of their life. They know what the deal is. They know she has cancer. There would have been no reason that they would have been like, something's toxic in her blood.
We're not in the Salem witch trials over here. Right.
And I'm assuming that the second person that started feeling symptoms didn't know about the ammonia smell.
She did.
Oh, okay.
They all four of them detected the ammonia smell.
So they smelled it.
They did.
But they didn't, like, say.
But nurse one went down where nurse two wasn't seeing it.
Yeah, that was more my point. Yeah. Like, they weren't feeding off of each other.
No. Not feeding at all. And the fact that the doctor freaked out enough to also smell it and then evacuate the entire ER.
Right.
Like, that's not mass hysteria. That's literally, we have a problem.
Exactly. What the hell?
So, there was also a team of two medical doctors who were also research scientists. that concluded that there was no poisonous gas.
Right.
They felt that due to the absence of evidence, there was only one explanation that 23 people, mind you, 23 people got sick and presented the same symptoms, simply imagined that they were sick.
No, see, it's because they don't have an answer and they want to make everyone else seem crazy. Like, we can't figure it out. So people are just fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
And this was the report that the health department delivered to the coroner.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So, like, the coroner at this point is, like, scrambling for damage control because they're like, holy shit, that's not helpful, because they're telling me that imaginary healthcare workers who could have died during exposure launched a defamation lawsuit against the hospital. They're pissed at this point because you're telling me that I'm imagining what just happened. Right. Like, go fuck yourself.
Right. When, like you said, they see the whole gamut of shit all the time.
So, like I said, they launched a defamation lawsuit.
Good.
Against the hospital.
Good.
The health department and the two investigators who concluded that it was mass hysteria.
Good.
Yeah. 23 people launched that. Like, let's go.
Yep.
So, at this point, the coroner's frustrated. Don't blame him.
Right.
Like, I would be frustrated, too. So, at this point, it's way outside of his jurisdictional boundaries. Right. Because, like, truthfully, he did his best and had to look at outside help and still has not come anywhere.
Oh my gosh.
But lucky for him, he found someone by the name of, or he found someone by the name, this is not a someone, Courtney. This is an actual place. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, which is also LLNL, which is near San Francisco.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research because I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So.
I've heard of it, but.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I did not know this about them. So Lawrence Livermore is what they call it for short. Initially, actually was not a medical or toxicology business.
Okay.
They were nuclear weapons makers.
That's how I've heard of it. Okay, yeah. I was like, I know I've heard of it, but I don't think in that context.
With a very, very busy mandate back in the Cold War.
Okay.
In the 90s, their usefulness obviously was dwindling at that point.
Right.
And so was their funding.
Yeah.
So they decided to broaden their horizons and created the Forensic Science Center at LLNC.
Good for them.
LLNL.
Yeah, good for them.
So, we're going to get into them a little bit. Because at this point, like, people are kind of freaking out and they're like, what the fuck is going on? Right. Like, we need an answer. And they're trying to find an answer.
Right.
So, Brian Anderson, he's the center's director.
Mm-hmm.
He took on what they call the toxic lady case. And I'm not a huge fan of calling it that. I think that's really derogatory to Gloria.
If someone lost their life, that just is like taking her identity away from her.
Right.
That's
so funny. I am going to preface that. This is the only time that I use that other than when I explained the case at the beginning. So the coroner gave Brian all the biological samples from Gloria's autopsy as well as the air inside of the containers.
Right.
Brian set out using what they call a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer, which for short is CGMS.
Spectrometer.
What did I say?
Chromatograph spectrometer, I think.
Spectrometer? Yeah, spectrometer. S-P-E-C-T-R-O-M-E-T-E-R. Spectrometer. Wow, am I in the spelling bee or what? Oh my gosh. Which would have been the same as the process that actually that the Riverside County toxicologists would have used.
Right.
To come up with there was nothing but mass hysteria, and I put that in quotation marks, results.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian actually found something new that seemed to have been overlooked.
Okay.
He found traces of dimethyl sulfide, which is DMSO for short, in her system. So even though it wasn't a lot, there were traces of it clearly in this. So this caused Brian to feel like he was onto something at this point.
Right.
So I'm going to explain dimethyl sulfite to you guys a little bit. It's a stable and harmless on its own organic sulfur compound with a chemical formula of CH32SO. Okay. Zero, not SO. And it's very available in a form of degreasing agent used in car cleaning.
Oh, okay.
This is a normal, everyday substance.
Yeah.
It's also commonly ingested and topically applied for cancer patients. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit because I was like, oh, that's the answer.
Right.
But then something comes up later. So hold on to your panties on that one.
Ew. Why did I say that? Why did you say that? Ew, Courtney. People use that word.
Anyway.
Oh, underwear, don't be a creep.
Ah, skivvies. Okay. At one time, there was an actual clinical trial that was approved by the FDA to use DMSO as a medication for treating pain, mm-hmm. and it was adopted by the athletic world as a miracle drug for sports injuries.
Oh, okay.
The FDA abruptly dropped the DMSO program when they realized prolonged use could make people go blind.
Holy fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Thank you.
Right? Like, appreciate it.
Go blind. Just take your chances.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
No, thanks.
So Brian developed a theory that actually has been adopted by many scientists who desperately want to know, like, what's going on with this case and are grasping at that scientific straw to find what caused Gloria's bizarre death.
They're hypothesizing, Courtney. They're trying to prove a hypothesis. They're not grasping
it. Oh, I'm calling it grasping, and I'm going to get into that one.
I'm just giving you shit.
I know you are. I love you. So, this is the theory. Gloria Ramirez had been self-medicating with DMSO. When she went into distress at home, the paramedics placed her in an ambulance and immediately applied oxygen. Gloria received more oxygen at the ER, which started a chemical reaction with the DMSO already in her body and her body system.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
And if you said this, I'm sorry. My brain is not working. What effects do people get that would, like, why would you self-medicate with DMSO? Like, what does it give you beneficially? I know you talked about what the side effects are.
Yeah, so for they do use it for cancer, for pain.
Okay,
yes, it's topically applied to your skin.
I got you. Yeah, you did say that. For some reason, I was thinking something.
Yeah. So Brian's...
I'll cut that out, dumbass.
No, you're fine. Brian's theory obviously continues with the idea that when the medical staff applied intense oxygen to Gloria, the DMSO chemically changed by adding another oxygen atom to the formula, becoming CH3-2SO2.
Okay.
Which is dimethyl sulfine, which is DMSF.
Okay.
At this point, when four oxygen atoms are present, that the chemical turns deadly.
Okay. So, molecular interaction.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
So, when it becomes dimethyl sulfate, it emits terrible toxin-type gases.
Okay.
And this is what Brian suspected was the missing key.
Okay.
The amplified oxygenation turned the self-medicating dimethyl sulfoxide... Sorry, it threw me off.
Sorry.
Gloria was taking into, obviously, I'm just going to say it for short, DMSF.
Girl, you're even struggling with the letters.
I know. Which morphed into the noxious gas that they assume came off of her body.
So it's like literally to use this stuff therapeutically accurately, you need to have understanding of chemistry.
You do.
The biology body.
But they're also saying that you should know that when a cancer patient is using this, you can't give them oxygen.
Right.
Which.
Okay.
I don't agree with.
Right. It's like that should have a massive warning label. And also, I'm sorry, but if a cancer patient is using it, you cannot tell me. Like, the odds of a cancer patient having to use oxygen at some point are quite high.
Oh, especially extremely high.
End stages of life.
Yes.
So you're literally just going to let that happen?
Oh, yeah.
What the
fuck? I'm going to get into some stuff here in a minute. So this theory obviously satisfies the coroner.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, answer. Solid. Right. Let's go.
Right.
They released Brian's report in an addendum to their final report.
Okay.
So agreeing that this gas from Gloria's body, how it was created, is what made all these people sick. The coroner then closed his file. And the findings went on to be published in a peer-reviewed publication with Forensic Science International.
Okay.
Here's the problem. There's two problems with Brian's theory and the conclusion of this. The first one is that Gloria's family admittedly denies that she was self-medicating with DMSO.
Adamantly.
What did I say?
Say admittedly.
Oh, my bad. Adamantly. Admit. It doesn't even say admit. Why did I say that? Anyway, you're fine. They're saying that she wasn't using it. And I actually read a bunch of stuff on her family, and they were like, we would know if she's using that, and so would the healthcare facility that she was in.
Right.
No evidence of it was in her room. No evidence was on her records. Like, you would have to buy it. There was there's nothing.
That's so weird.
So there's problem number one.
Because, I mean, but that's what sucks, is because that explanation makes sense, you know? Like, that would make total sense of how this happened, but of course it can't be. I mean, not that it was easy, but, you know.
Yeah. Second problem is that more scientists actually were disagreeing than agreeing with this theory. Mm-hmm. Some of them even disagreed were world-class toxicologists, who said it was chemically impossible for a hospital to administrate oxygen to set off this reaction. They were like, there's no way that you could use oxygen to cause this reaction unless it's inside of a laboratory where the two chemicals are being combined.
Okay, yeah, and I was going to ask, because you said they only use the manual oxygen, the oxygen bag, correct? They didn't use an actual mask. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that also just doesn't make sense.
Yep. They were not administering pure oxygen through a tank into a tube.
It's just purified air that they're forcing into her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
So, we got some problems with this theory. That's fine. Yeah. So, the interest in this case and looking for a true conclusion was far from over at this point.
Right.
Many people knew DSMO would be present in small amounts in most people's bodies. Fun fact, this is in our bodies as we're speaking because it's a common ingredient in processed food and it metabolizes well as it runs through your urinary tract and is quickly gone.
Okay.
So in Gloria's case, she had a urinary tract blockage, which triggered the renal failure.
Okay.
Which triggered her heart attack.
Oh my gosh.
So if it wasn't for the blockage, the DM or DSMO probably would not have been detected in her system at all.
Holy fuck. How was she in hospice and no one realized that she had a urinary tract blockage?
I think they knew. I think that's part of the cervical cancer ending stages.
Oh, okay.
That's
you can't treat that.
It gets to a point where I think
I see.
You know that's how you're going to go.
Right.
Unfortunately. Cool. So there were many knowledgeable people who are reviewing this case again who are saying like the chemical reaction would give the same ammonia-like smell and gases that, you know, caused 23 people to have these symptoms.
Right, yeah.
This gas that they're talking about is methyl... I can never say this.
Methylamine,
thank you. Methylamine.
M-E-T-H-Y-L-M-I-N-E.
L-A-M-I-N-E.
Methylamine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this isn't rare.
Yeah.
Okay? In case y'all are wondering. It's actually produced as a cleaning agent.
Okay.
In large quantities. Ooh. And it's usually transported in pressurized railroad cars. Fun fact. But it's also tightly controlled by the government.
Mm. Of course it is.
Right. But do you want to know why? It's because it can be used for biological terrorism and also for cooking meth.
Sounds like shit to make chemical weapons or something else unsavory.
It is one of the highest sought after foundations used for manufacturing methamphetamines.
Solid.
Yep.
That's probably why they started, after that was regulated, it's probably why they started going cold medications, and then all the good cold medications that'd be behind the counter at the pharmacy.
I know, you can't even get them anymore. So the Times actually reports that Riverside Hospital workers used IV bags to capture and store this drug. And as the IV bags were sealed, safe to handle, and entirely inconspicuous, the stories theorized that the IV bags loaded with the about to be smuggled meth, as I'm going to put it, because that's the best way for me to say it, because that's kind of what it is, accidentally found its way into the ER and got plugged into Gloria's arm.
What the fuck?
They said because it turns into a gas so quickly that when it is exposed to oxygen, this would explain why no traces of it were found in the toxicology report, and it all went into the air and into the lungs of 23 people.
So that's now encroaching on malpractice territory.
if it was actually something that happened. Because 28 years later now, despite one of the largest forensic investigations in history, there is actually no conclusive cause of her toxicity and why she caused so many people to get sick.
What
they
the
don't
fuck?
Have an answer.
I don't like that. Why you bring this shit? That's gonna make me mad.
But they don't have they are still people who are looking into this. It is an ongoing case in the sense of, like, it's not police work being done. There are a lot of scientists who are still looking into this, trying to figure out what would have come out of her body and why it was caused.
Did they save any of her blood and tissue for examination?
I'm not sure. I didn't see anything on it. I did actually look into details.
I just wonder how they would... I mean, they would literally have to just, like, come across something in an article or something to figure it out.
Yeah, because she was cremated as well. Ugh. So, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
And her family is actually on a mission to find out as well, because her name is dragged through the dirt right now.
Right.
With how they concluded this whole entire case.
Yeah. I don't blame them. Like, I would want answers so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course you would. But it's just, like, something like that. What the fuck?
Isn't it mind-blowing?
Because they already knew she was going to pass away soon. Everyone dies.
Yes.
She was going to be passing away soon because she was in the end stages of her life. Imagine being her family and knowing, you know, like, hey, maybe this is just the time, but then something else entirely is happening. Like, yes, at the crux of it, she still passed away from what she had going on, but then she's got this whole other layer to it.
Right.
Like, that's maddening. Because you already come to terms as much as you can, you know, when someone is terminally ill, but then...
But then to, like, be in the media and, like, have her name, you know... Have her be called that horrendous name.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I read a bunch of articles from the family, and, like, they are definitely still fighting to get an actual legitimate answer as to what's going on. So, like, it's her family, too. And a lot of scientists are, like, very curious to figure this out, because it is the only known case of this happening.
Right, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And an answer would be nice. But I feel like even though Brian did... I feel like do a better job. I still think he kind of, like, chalked it up in the air when he got an answer that he found what he found and was like, yeah, that's gotta be it, instead of, like, doing more research into it. And obviously everyone else, you know, chalked it up to mass hysteria and all these just stupid things because they couldn't come up with an answer.
Right, exactly.
Like, come up with it's a cold, unsolved case. Don't come up with, oh, it's mass hysteria, just to shut people up.
And they could at least say, you know, this is likely the cause of some chemical reaction to something, or, you know, something like that. Don't just say that people are losing their marbles. Like, that's absurd. And that's so degrading, and just, it just, makes me so mad.
But I'm glad that her family's still fighting, and I'm glad that there are scientists out there who are also still fighting to try to find an answer.
Because there's, like, some... reaction to medication would be the only thing that would make sense, but, like, the fact that those are just being ruled out, like, it is insane.
It's kind of mind-blowing too to think, like, because the medications that she would have been on are the same medications that any other cancer patient in stage four is on, and at that point you have to sit there and go, okay, but why was it her body that reacted this way and nobody else has done that?
Right, because there has to be some other common denominator, or not common denominator, whatever, outlier that's causing this, you know, and it's a common thing for these patients, but there's something else that happened within her to cause this reaction, but it just, I don't know.
Truthfully for me, I feel like the case of the IV bag switch is not far-fetched. I'm not saying that the hospital is at fault here by any means, like, accidents do happen, and if that stuff is really, like, someone's really trying to smuggle it, like, what better way to smuggle it than through a hospital?
So, I'm looking, I googled just to, as, you know, curiosity. So, it does say that ammonia smells can be due to an infection, like a urinary infection or something like that, but ammonia levels in blood and urine will increase when the liver is not working as it should. So it could have been her renal failure. But it's like...
But the fact that it was that strong...
Right.
That's... I don't think you ever smell that... Yeah. Like that.
Exactly. So it just... What? I don't know. I'm not a scientist at all in any way, shape, or form. But, like, what if her body could have been releasing something because of the renal failure and had some kind of interaction with, you know, one of those other things that are just around in the world? But you would think that that would happen.
More than once.
Something like that. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, this case, like, blew my mind, and I was like, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Okay, but why?
Keep me awake at night, man.
No.
Damn you.
Just know that they're still working to find an answer.
I hope they find one, because my gosh, her poor family.
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, but that's her case, and I just wanted to give her a voice, because I feel like a lot of people let her down in the medical and science fields, unfortunately.
And talk about her as a person, not as a fucking science experiment.
Yeah.
Ugh, can we please call this episode her name and not...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I don't know, I'll name it. The other thing I'm going
to
say.
That's why I called it the bizarre death of her and then her name instead of calling her what everybody else calls her.
Yeah, seriously, what assholes?
And that's literally anytime you look up her name, that's all the articles are.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's really frustrating to me.
Because unfortunately, it's like if that's the only reason that her name is brought to light, they're going to just use that and make it a moniker. Ugh.
I even tried searching about her, like... Before all of this, sorry, I mean the yawn as I'm talking, and I could not find any evidence on her prior to this because everything was so focused in on her nickname.
Yeah, she's a medical anomaly.
Yeah, and I was really frustrated. Like, I was getting into page, like, 15, 16, 17 in Google searches and, like, nothing.
Bullshit. There should be, like, a mandate in Google that when someone passes away, like, the first thing you should be able to see is, like, a story about their life.
I agree.
And, like, who they were.
We should pass that.
Seriously.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Let's write some petitions.
I'm here for it.
Because, yeah, that should be, like, the first thing. It's, like, here's them.
And also, remember, like, she died a very horrific death. Like, this is not...
It had to be by herself for a lot of that time.
Yeah.
Ugh, that poor woman.
Yeah. So, like, that was my thing of not using that name. Except for the one time that I did to explain why she's called that. But
right, yeah, because you just said, you know, in the context of, you know, them coming up with that name, but not identifying her as that yourself. And that's how we can be better.
Mm-hmm. I also struggle with the fact of, like, they want to blame it on that drug that she was supposedly using, and her family was adamant about her not using it. Like, know that her family knows her best, and she's in stage 4. Like, she's not over here trying to, you know, find all these miracle drugs and stuff. She's hurting at this point, and truthfully, like, probably on a lot of pain medications to just get through the day.
Well, that's probably exactly why they wanted that to be an easier route, because they'd be like, she is in so much pain. It would be an easy explanation.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, her family would have known, and especially if she's in hospice care.
Yeah, they would have known.
Chances are she wasn't going to be able to use that all on her own most of the time. You know, someone else would have had to help her.
Yeah, so, and not only that, they have to know what's coming in and out of that facility. Right. So, and I highly doubt that drug is in that facility.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. That's so infuriating. I hope her family gets answers. Someday.
I do too. I just don't think we're advanced enough, and I know we are very advanced right now, but I just think, like, this is one of those weird one-off anomalies that, like, we're gonna have to advance way more than we already are before we can find an answer.
Yeah. Unfortunately. My gosh.
Yeah.
It's just gonna drive my brain crazy.
Sorry.
It's fine.
I tried to find something different.
No, I appreciate it. It's actually very fascinating.
It is. It's very interesting because you want to figure out what was that reaction. Because I'm not even going to say chemical reaction because I don't know what level it's at. What was that reaction?
It could have been chemical. It could have been anything.
Like, what caused that? Like,
biology is
fluorescent lights? Like, truthfully, anything could have freaking caused that. Like, radioactive something from something.
Fluorescent lights are also radioactive.
I know, a lot of people don't know that. And I'm like, have you ever broken one? It's full of powder.
Right. Ugh.
I remember those things used to scare the frick out of me as a kid.
Those kill my head. Like, I can't.
Oh, dude. Every time we have to go in the office, my eyes hurt so bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
My gosh.
Yeah. So that's Gloria. I think she's an amazing woman, and I feel for her that she had to lose her life how she did, and I feel for her that people still call her a horrendous name. Yeah. But
think about her as a human, you fuckers. Yes. Like, she was already dying in a horrific way. Mm-hmm. And then add that on top of it. Like, she had to go out with less dignity mm-hmm. than she normally would have as it was.
Which was my main reason for bringing this case to the table. I'm glad you feel the same way I do, because that was really why I wanted to bring it to the table, because I feel like she needed a voice and somebody to be in her corner and not treat her like a medical experiment and give her a derogatory name.
Right,
exactly. I'm here for it.
Right. Well, thank you for telling her story and making it about her.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And also remember, she lost her life extremely young. She was 31.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I missed that part where you said she was that young. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, give her the credit that she is absolutely fucking due.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. Maybe she could be, like, some incredible medical breakthrough, though. Like, she could be a catalyst.
It would be really cool.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really hoping, like, these scientists and stuff who are still investigating this case actually come up with a conclusion. Because I think it'll be great for her family, but also, like you said, maybe it'll break through something in science.
Right. Because it very well could be that what happened is more common, but not to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it became such a big anomaly. Oh, my goodness.
Crazy, right?
Oh, I hope she's resting peacefully. My goodness.
I feel I feel like she has to, because she's not in pain anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the key. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize, like, how much cancer patients are in pain. Yeah. Like, it's not fun. It's not easy. You don't just fall asleep.
She's going through renal failure.
Oof.
I just hope she was out of it in the end and just wasn't.
I'm going to assume that she probably was at that point, since she was already having heart problems as well. Her brain was probably shutting down to save her at that point.
And just not being cognizant of that horrendous.
Because they said she was incoherent when she first came in, so.
Good. I mean, not good that she had to go through that, but good that she was, you know.
Not functioning for it all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but that's her case.
Holy hell. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Glad I could tell her story.
Yeah, it's gonna eat away my brain.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was trying to not do a murder case.
No, I totally get it.
Sorry.
I really do hope they find answers, though.
I do, too.
Yeah. But well, thank you.
Again. You're welcome.
If you want to send us any of your own case suggestions, we talk about a lot. We do a lot of case suggestions, a ton of them. I feel like we've probably done like half and half case suggestions. Among them,
we do have some left to do as well.
I have a list.
Well, I'm talking like we've had people send them in.
No, I know.
Oh.
I check our emails more, and we've gotten a good chunk from people. But yeah, so we have a lot. We prefer if you email them to us in the nickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com, but you can also send them to us on Instagram or TikTok.
Don't do TikTok, because we don't check the TikTok.
Not as much, but we do check. We're better about it than we were. So, yeah. Email is still preferable, because we can actually, like, filter through it easily. So, that'd be great. Otherwise, you can find all of our stuff in our link tree in our show notes. It lives there, and that's where our socials and everything else is. So, take it.
Or take it!
Okay. Scoops and Lore will probably be next week, or the week after, because we're doing bi-weekly. I don't know, man. We'll be back soon.
Our lives just gotta get together.
Yeah. I mean, we will. I'm sure we'll be doing it, you know, our bi-weekly thing next time, but lower your expectations. Moral of that story.
Dropping our expectations a little bit on ourselves.
We don't have any expectations for ourselves anymore.
No.
Yeah.
We just enjoy doing this, and we want to bring you legitimate cases and not half-ass it.
And we hope that our regular listeners still get excited when they see a notification like, oh my gosh!
They have a new one out!
Finally!
Yay!
So yeah, hopefully you still get that. But yeah.
I think that's all we have.
I think so too. I don't think we had anything else to go over.
So with that, I'm just going to say keep it creepy and stay freaky.
And we will see you guys, remember, not next Tuesday, but next Tuesday. We're not changing our outro. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ew.
Bye. We're just having fun.